listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Hello and welcome once again to the Tennis.com podcast. Two-man show today, Ed McGrogan and Steve Tigner. We're going to do something a little different today with obviously no matches for a week now. Actually, well, just a little bit longer than that at this point on Monday. But what we're doing on the site is Steve will be reviewing or picking his top 10 matches of the year. And it started today on Monday, December 12th. And that was the Radwanska Zvonareva Insta Classic, however you want to view it, from Istanbul. And so each day, each weekday from this week and next week, Steve will have a YouTube clip of the video along with some of his comments on that clip, sort of reliving the match, a lot of ones you may have forgotten just because there is so much tennis throughout the year. And Steve and I are going to be talking about that now, sort of how he comprises this, what goes into the process behind all this. And Steve, as you, some of you may know that in the magazine about a year or so ago, Steve had a piece on the phenomenon really of YouTube clips and tennis and how fans have been able just to relive certain old memories that they haven't been able to watch before. So do you have kind of a fascination with seeing this, you know, just reliving all these old historic matches that were really unavailable for a while?
Yeah. Because, you know, for a long time you couldn't get any tennis matches on DVD even. They just weren't sold. I don't think anyone, the people who have permission to run them don't sell them because they don't think there's a market really for them. Wimbledon owns a lot of them. The company that through Wimbledon owns a lot of them. The U.S. Open doesn't sell any. They don't see a real market. So before YouTube, before people started putting old clips of their own up, there was no way to see even, you know, something like Borg-McEnroe 1981 Wimbledon final. The, you know, Wimbledon sold the 1980 final, but any other great matches, a classic Borg-Garolaitis match from 77, that was tough to see any of that stuff. So people sort of forget that now. You can go on YouTube and look up virtually any tennis match you want, but, you know, 5 years ago you couldn't do that.
Yeah, it wasn't even the obscure ones that we were missing. It was kind of really good stuff that I think you've pointed out to a lot of people. Some of the ones I seem to enjoy are the ones that were already a little far flung off the radar, but even more so like these, you know, Tennis Masters Cup highlights from like the mid-90s when the courts have no doubles alley and things like that. Some of these really neat ones that you don't pick up on. And when I watch some of these highlights a couple of years back, I used to watch sort of all this Federer stuff in his early 2000s. But even these other matches that I just haven't seen over the time, it does strike me that it's all like the good old days when I watch them. I think things seem to age pretty well in sports, especially today where things are kind of old within a couple days or so. Maybe we don't even notice it while it's happening. But when you kind of step back from it, like I think we're doing with these clips, you do seem to appreciate it a little more and see a little more than you did before.
Well, one of the things that helps is that they're highlights. They're highlight reels, most of them. That the one you're maybe referring to is the Tennis Masters Cup or World Championships between Sampras and Becker in 96. One of the best matches of the last, you know, 30 years. It wasn't really seen that widely. There's a YouTube clip with the highlights that just makes it look like by far the greatest tennis match ever played. But, of course, all that's shown are the winners.
Right, right, yeah.
But it's true. The stuff does look really good when you look back at it.
Yeah. So for this list here, it's the top 10 of 2011. I'd love to know actually how many matches were played in 2011. It just has to be an obscene amount with all the tournaments and everything around the world. Did you have a specific criteria for this list, or, you know, is it kind of really just more, you know, it's obviously your own subjective opinion, but do you have any sort of hardline things that you, you know, a match has to have X to really get in here?
No. I start with the most famous matches that first come to mind. The Grand Slam finals, the finals and the semifinals, all the big tournaments, all the big matches between the important players, Djokovic, Federer, Nadal, anything on any of the women's finals or semis that come to mind? You sort of start with those because those are the, you know, that's those are where the most important matches will come, and then you look for the best ones of those, the ones that have the highest quality, or the most dramatic, or the closest, and then you kind of go down from those slams and work down to the next level, the Masters or the premier events, and then down to any Davis Cup or sort of one-off event. So I sort of start with the occasions and work down from there.
Yeah, you were saying with today's, it was one that you, until you mentioned it, that this Radwanska Zvonareva, you know, thrill ride for a while, it wasn't even that long ago that we you just forget it almost happened, really. But it's certainly got to be a process to parse down the year into these 10. And there's another tennis channel right now has this Love 30 going on, 30 Love. I can't remember which one it is, but they are picking 30 matches that they are showing on their network up and throughout December. And a couple of them, you know, like you said, are a couple of them, as I think you've noted, are actually kind of a little blowout nature. Do you think for a list like this, like you're composing, like can really sort of a really one-sided match also be a classic match in a way? Or I think of a couple of these Federer Nadal ones this year, but just in general, do you think a classic necessarily has to be like maximum amount of sets played, et cetera?
No, it can. Most of the time, yes. The number one match I had last year was Schiavone beating Sam Stosur in the French Open final. It was just a straight set match, close to a blowout, but I just thought it was the most memorable match of the year for me. So I'm pretty, you know, I can be pretty subjective in that. But for the most part, yeah, that go for the five setters, the close matches, a blowout. Even if it's a high quality performance by one player, usually wouldn't make the list. Wouldn't make my list. Say Nadal's win over Federer in Key Biscayne, or Federer's win over Nadal in
London.
London don't make it for me as great matches.
Yeah, for this list overall, you've done this for now. This is the third year, I believe. Was this one more or less difficult to assemble than the others? Because to me, I'm actually kind of just scanning the year back. This year, I don't think necessarily has really a front runner for that top match. I think it can be debated. There's no 70-68 match. There's no classic Wimbledon final that goes beyond 6-6. How was this list in terms of comprising it?
It was harder. 2 years ago, I think 2009 was a particularly good year. Number one was Verdasco and Nadal in Australia for me, and number two was Roddick Federer at Wimbledon. If you have Roddick and Federer as the number two match of the year, it was a 16-14 fifth set. That's a pretty good year. Last year was also good. It also had a couple oddballs, the Schiavone match to me and Isner Mahou. You're not going to duplicate those two, but this one I guess has been a little weaker. There's a few that are obvious that are going to be in there, but as I got down in the 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, it wasn't quite as obvious. Like Zvonareva, Radwanska, neither of those players are marquee names, and I didn't even remember the match until I had to think about how am I going to get 10 matches out of this. I'd happen to really like that match,
yeah.
So it works, but it's but that's probably a little more of a stretch than say I had in 2009.
Right, and you know, the luxury of your position is you get to see a lot of these matches in person. You probably saw quite a few of these that on your list in person, and obviously, if you can't tell, we're withholding the list, so you have to just check it out on the site as it goes in the next couple weeks. But when you see a match in person, as there's obviously a lot of differences from television, is it easier or more difficult for you to kind of appreciate the quality of the match, what you're seeing, you know, just because it's two completely different perspectives?
It is funny. Some of the matches, because you watch so many matches on TV, that kind of becomes your criteria. That's how you watch it. When I see something live, there's a lot more that goes into it. Like I look at the U.S. Open final between Nadal and Djokovic. I thought last year's U.S. Open final between Nadal and Djokovic, not many people had that, I would say, in their top 10, but I had it in the top 10 because I thought it was such a fantastic physical contest. And the same thing this year. I might not have, if I'd watched that on TV, I might not have been that impressed by that match. On the other hand, you have things like Federer, Djokovic at the French Open versus Federer, Djokovic at the U.S. Open. Two, both fantastic matches, but completely different atmospheres. And I was in, you know, I was there for both of those. So that definitely affects how I look at it. I can't take myself out of how the atmosphere of the match.
Yeah, the atmosphere I think is a huge one. I just recently saw that Nadal Del Potro match over in Seville, which was one of the more
that one you could feel through the television.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah, got a sense that's of that. True. Yeah, but you do I think know when I do think you it's sort of like you know it when you know it when you're there that you're watching something great. That's a good one, and then. I know this match didn't make last year's, I don't believe, but last year when that Harrison-Stakovsky match was going on at the Open, that was actually probably one of the better atmospheres I've ever seen in Flushing Meadows there. But I do think you, at least for seasoned tennis fans in person, you kind of get that sense of you're watching something really memorable there. So
yeah, and but like that Harrison-Stakovsky, sometimes you do have to take yourself out of it. It's and look at what it is, second round match.
To a French viewer that could, yeah.
It happened to be an American playing in the U.S., a kid who was really fired up. And you have to sort of balance those things as to what that was really worth for the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, any closing thoughts on this year overall, this crop of matches, this list of years? Because like we said, Steve will have one each day, Monday through Friday, leading up to it's like the 10 days of Christmas,
basically. Well, to go back to the YouTube element, I try to get all of these matches through include a highlight reel of the match that makes it much better than just trying to recount the match without one. Luckily, in the last 2 years, have been able to find pretty good highlight reels for all of them. And that really makes it that, you know, when you see them, you see the match again, especially with seeing just the best moments, you really, even now, just looking at this list, I was struggling to come up with 10 really good ones. But now that I've come up with them and have watched some of them, they really do come across as great matches, worth remembering, worth watching again.
Luckily, there's people, like you said, that apparently yeah. spend all day uploading clips.
I don't know who
clips,
they are, but
so thank you.
Thanks to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, tune in this week, next week, tennis.com. Among other lists, we have Aces and Faults, Last Word. Lots of stuff to look back on 2011, and then soon enough, next year, we'll have that covered as well, I'm sure, quite well. Thanks for listening. Steve Tigner, Ed McGrogan.
You've been enjoying Tennis.com's weekly podcast. Thanks for listening. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.